Dave and Darren, and our Top 5 Things podcast. This is a review of what we got done on our morning show. It's the equivalent of us showing our work, I suppose.
Carry the one.
We can prove that we have a morning show. Here it is. We hope you enjoy what you're about to hear, the Top 5 Things podcast. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hello there, Darren.
Hello there.
We'll get started with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Consumer Reports, putting out a report that's getting a lot of attention. They're saying we are running our air conditioners at the wrong temperature.
Okay.
Which wastes energy and is causing our utility bills to soar.
Well, I suppose that could be true.
Energy Star coming out with recommendations. Energy Star, that's the thing, like when you get an appliance, there's the sticker on it that says, like, Energy Star says this about this unit.
I've seen that.
Energy Star coming out with recommendations for setting your air conditioner so you can save money and use energy efficiently. It won't be that long. We'll have the AC on, right?
And what temperature should I have it at?
According to Consumer Reports, it's recommended you set your air conditioner at 78 degrees when you're home and you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
When you leave your house, they recommend setting your AC to 85 degrees. And when you're sleeping at night, have it set at 82 degrees. Your air conditioner won't run at all then.
Well, I guess that's the point.
Really saving on the AC bills by setting it at 85 degrees.
Here's a little secret that... Big Air doesn't want you to know. Yeah, it'll never kick in.
So when you leave your house to go to work, your AC should be set at 85 degrees, then 78 when you get back, and then 82 for nighttime when you're sleeping.
What are you trying to do, kill the cat?
Why are all the candles melted? What's going on here?
Oh, hot.
Energy Star says there is some wiggle room. If you're convinced that their guidelines won't work for you, they recommend setting it at 78 degrees and then lower it by 1 degree at a time until you've reached the best possible indoor climate. People who are more heat tolerant can also ratchet the temperature up 1 degree if they'd like. So yeah, have it at 86, 87 degrees. Why not? Energy Star also noting that people who have window air conditioners, as opposed to central air, will have more difficulty keeping their rooms at this optimal temperature. If you have a window unit in your bedroom, they say turn it on 30 minutes before you go to bed rather than leaving it on all night.
We should get a window unit here.
We have AC in the studios.
I know, but we should just go ahead and get a window unit anyway.
It's a cool look.
Yeah, it is a good look. It's boss.
There are other ways to help beat the heat, too, according to Consumer Reports. Even if you set your air conditioner at a higher temperature, you can also use a ceiling fan or a box fan to help keep you cool.
There are fans!
This is the first time
hearing
of this.
Just want to point this out to you.
Oh, joy! Look at all this fan mail!
I don't understand. You're telling me I can have a fan on a ceiling? What am I, Lionel Richie? This doesn't make a lick of sense.
If that doesn't help, stick your head in the river.
If you live in a more temperate climate, try opening your windows at night rather than running your air conditioning.
But that's just going to attract, like, beavers.
What's all that racket out there?
What's going on out there? What the hell's happening? Every live animal in this county is trying to get in the house. What the hell is? I can't sleep like this.
What the Sam Hill is going on out there? This Consumer Report reads like it was written by somebody who just landed on planet Earth and is learning about air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
You can also use a box fan if you like. Maybe open the window if it's nice outside. Of course, many people end up feeling too hot at night due to a warm bed and heavy blankets, but there are tricks to keep your bed cool.
Sleep naked.
So you won't sweat all night. Switch to linen bedding, lighter colors, or ditch your top sheet for the season. These are all ways you can stay comfortable. People who live in sunny homes should keep their window shades drawn to avoid baking in the summer sunshine while they're outdoors. On particularly hot days, Consumer Reports says, you should avoid running your dishwasher, your oven, your washer and dryer, all to keep heat from being generated inside the house. Programmable air conditioners and smart thermostats can be controlled with smartphone apps and are great ways to use your unit only when you need it. See, I think I've heard, and maybe this is something I've heard from Big Air, that the idea of having your air conditioner off when you're not there and turning it on when you get there, it uses more energy because it has to
probably
cool down the hot house. Right or wrong?
It's like stopping and starting when you're driving. Right. You're not going to get any. So what kind of mileage you think you're going to get?
Again, they're saying 82 degrees is where it should be at night when you go to bed in the summertime. And when you're not in your house, have the AC set at 85.
I like it right around 59.
78 degrees.
I like to get in a sleeping bag and then get into bed.
If I'm not sleeping in a parka on the 4th of July, what are we? What are we even doing
here? Then what's the point of all of this?
Why do we set this up?
This is just a recipe for disaster.
Open the window. That's how you get beavers.
Oh, great. Beaver season. They won't leave me alone.
Oh, they're all night just howling in their little beaver voices.
Ah, they smell my musk.
Knocking on the window. Uh-huh. Get out of here, you beavers. Well, I'm going to print this article off and bring it home and see how the family loves it.
Yeah.
No. Hey, everybody, I've got Consumer Reports backing me up on having the AC not quite as cold as everybody likes.
There's one thing that your family enjoys. It's the air conditioner.
Oh, it's like living with a couple of Nanook of the North. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
They demand comfort.
Right? I'm like Bobby Brady sleeping in a meat locker. Damn ridiculous every summer. Well, print this off. Hey, Consumer Reports says we should have it at 82 when we go to bed tonight. I'm not coming. This isn't me. This is the people at Consumer Reports.
Now they'd light that on fire right away. Yeah. They both would have... why are you guys carrying lighters? They would... Since when do you guys carry lighters? Well, just for this sort of reason.
What's this all about? Because
we know you're going to come up with something stupid.
Here are some reactions to this Consumer Report. As you can imagine, not everybody's on board with what the people at Consumer Reports are saying about what your AC should be at for this upcoming summer season. Somebody writes here, this is the most offensive thing that's ever been posted on the internet. Here's another one that says, what this report is saying is, you can save money by not using something. Yeah, gotcha. Someone asks, was this Consumer Report written by a lizard? That's kind of what it reads like. Like an iguana that just wants to lay on a hot rock all day. Somehow got into the Consumer Reports database and push publish on his ramblings.
These replies are making me so mad.
Number two. A mom-to-be has a concern with the name that her husband desperately wants for the baby.
It's got to be this.
Yeah. This is somebody reaching out on Reddit wondering if they're in the wrong. I wanted to read this. "Hello all," she starts. "This has caused quite a stir on both sides of the family, and my niece suggested I post this here so as to garner unbiased opinions. Unfortunately, as it is relevant to the story, I will have to keep much personal information uncensored in this story. My husband and I are pregnant with our first child. He's 35, and I'm 35, and he's 37, okay? We are overjoyed as we have struggled with perceived infertility and miscarriages for the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
We want the gender to be a surprise,
okay,
but we may have to find out just to settle this, as I'm currently at the tail end of my second trimester. My husband absolutely idolized his grandfather, who unfortunately passed away last week. My husband is devastated, especially about the notion that his children will never meet their great-grandpa,
mm-hmm,
who their father adored so much. As such, my husband has suggested that we name the baby after Grandpa.
We're going to call him Grandpa. He wants to call this baby Grandpa.
Or check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?
Our baby is named Grandpa. That's not bad. And our last name is Munster. He doesn't see what the problem is with this.
Right. He wants our baby to be Grandpa Munster.
You're talking.
And he doesn't see the problem with it.
My husband has suggested we name the baby after Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Theodore, if it's a boy. Theodora, if it's a girl.
Theodora.
Either way, we will call them Teddy.
Yeah.
Or Theo and Thea, respectively.
Yeah, Theo or Thea.
Mm-hmm. Teddy or Theo, okay, or Thea, respectively.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
It's not that I mind the name. It's that our last name is spelled B-O-U-N-D-E, which is pronounced Bundy.
Yeah.
I asked my husband, do you really see no issue in naming our kid Teddy Bundy?
Mm.
You don't think that would raise any questions? He says, no, we're just honoring my grandpa.
No.
I told him he needs to think about how it will be perceived and how our child will be treated and the implications that the name inherently carries.
Yeah.
I literally had to spell out why it would be a horrible idea to name our kid Teddy Bundy. And he still just thinks that I hate his grandpa. I told him, no, grandpa was named in the 1930s,
yeah,
when the name Teddy Bundy wouldn't have been a problem. However, due to certain events in the 70s and 80s,
yeah,
there's no feasible way we can give this name to our kid and not cause issues.
So we're going to settle on Al.
He kept pushing and pushing until I blew up and told him to stop with the idiotic suggestion.
Yeah, not
and
happening.
And that's what it is.
Not happening.
Idiotic at best, sociopathic at worst. He got extremely upset and told his family and my parents, who are all divided on this. His family is obviously on his side and wants to honor Grandpa via naming the baby after him. My parents are torn, but on my side, as they understand the social pariah we would make our child by giving them such a similar name to the person who did such abhorrent and downright evil things to so many women.
What was Grandpa's middle name?
I mean, personally, I don't think anyone is going to assume that we're honoring a past loved one. They're immediately going to think we named the baby after Ted Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think she's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, you have situations where you name a kid something and you, mm-hmm, don't realize till it's later that it's like, oh, I didn't realize they were going to. I didn't realize they were going to tease him with that.
That's the first thing.
But when you've got this obvious one.
Right. Right. The first thing you do when you're kicking around names is, how will this be used against them?
Uh-huh.
Right? My wife once said that if we had a girl,
uh-huh,
it was always her dream to name her daughter Laura.
Okay.
And I said, that's a beautiful name. Say it out loud. And then she said, oh, Laura Lavora. She's like, yeah, oh, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Should have thought of that. Like, should have thought of that before you married me.
Malora.
You wanted this Laura.
Malora.
Malora Lavora. Also wouldn't have worked. Exactly. It's, you're setting the kid up for teasing.
We can't name our kid blah, blah, blah.
Can't talk nonsense to the baby.
That baby's not making any sense. Well, blah, blah, blah is not making any sense.
As you can imagine, nearly everyone is saying, you know, you can't name your kid Ted Bundy, no matter what. It's worse if it's a boy. If it's Theo, even if it's a girl, that's just weird. And the fact that the name it's spelled differently, but pronounced Bundy, I mean, of course. Probably this guy's just dealing with the rawness of losing his grandpa. But
name the kid Graham. You know it's a great name.
We would like you to name the child Graham.
Graham.
Graham, man, like Graham and Dan.
Number three.
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 Story here of somebody going to battle with a door dasher. This is somebody that delivers food to you.
Mm-hmm.
The story is they ordered Taco Bell at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And please have it delivered to the house using DoorDash, right? And what they're alleging is that the DoorDash driver shows up with the Taco Bell. And then I'm guessing this is something that DoorDash does. They take a picture of the food left on your porch, like as proof of delivery.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, this DoorDash driver comes with the food, then takes a picture of it there at the front door, and then takes off with the food. So it's like, oh no, yeah, I got proof.
Yeah, I guess that defeats, how does that prove anything?
So they have... they have, like, you know,
yeah,
cameras.
Yeah, I got a picture of it.
They have cameras set up of the dasher showing up with the order and holding up the bag. She then, you know, basically is staging a photo to say that it was delivered.
Yeah.
Once she gets the shot of the food.
This is mine again.
She turns around and walks away with the bag of tacos in her hand.
And thanks for the tip.
I'm just going to. I'm going to take a picture of what you bought me to eat.
Guess who's also hungry at 1 a.m.? Yeah, they might have to rethink that policy. I don't know that.
How does that prove anything?
Yeah.
No, see, there's the picture of it. The DoorDash bandit turns around and walks away with the bag in hand. Oh my gosh, people saying, oh, I would have chased her down. And that's what she did. She says, I chased her down and she drove past me like I was a ghost. Just terrified. Do you think this is the first time this has happened? Or is this somebody who...
Ordering Taco Bell at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm. Everybody is up for a little Taco Bell at 1.
I drunkenly DoorDashed Taco Bell at 1 a.m. and the dasher stole my food. And then here's the picture of her just taking a picture of the bag and the front door. Like, here you go. And
if it makes you feel any better, this is exactly what I would have ordered. So.
I want you to know you have great taste.
You've got great Taco Bell taste.
I feel like we could be friends. We have a lot in common. And now I know where you live.
And now obviously we'd have to get past this.
Hey, man, I want to.
But once we talked our way through this.
I want to thank you.
I think
you.
We can be good buddies.
Yeah.
Old buddy.
We're going to. I just know we're going to be best friends forever and ever.
I just know it.
You ordered all my favorite stuff.
Your Taco Bell sensibility speaks to me.
I bet, too, like, this DoorDasher, is probably just going crazy as she's driving. Like, you have to drive the food to someone's house with that delicious smell.
I can do this. I can do this. I'm not going to... I'm just going to drop it off. I just need to get it out of the car. I need to get it out of the car, take the picture, and just leave. That's what I'm going to do.
But then I could see, too, you know, putting it together in your head, like, well, I can have one taco because they're not going to find out if I eat a taco because they're never going to get this bag. I'll just have one taco. I'll go take the picture.
Boy, that first taco was good.
Oh, you know what would go good with that taco?
A second taco.
It's just an empty bag. In my defense, that picture was of an empty bag. I just put some rags in there to make it look like it had the heft.
That Taco Bell sounder just keeps going off in their head.
All right, I'm not going to do this time. I'm going to leave the food. I'm going to leave the food. I will leave the food. Looking at yourself in the rearview mirror, you're better than this. You can beat this. You're going to leave the food. I'm not leaving nothing. I'm taking the food.
I know what's going to happen.
1 o'clock in the morning, they're probably not even awake. They'll have no idea. It's the perfect crime. I'm getting paid to drive around and have people buy me junk food. This is the perfect crime.
Oh, my God.
I can't.
Whoever thought this up was a genius.
DoorDash. You ridiculous. You can't do that. No, see, there's your proof. I took a picture of it, see? What it's really like to work for DoorDash. I'm reading here, article on Mashed. It says online food delivery platforms like Uber Eats and DoorDash have taken the world by storm. More than 112 million Americans say they've used a food delivery service last year, with 60% ordering delivery services or takeout at least once per week. Trend not showing any signs of slowing down. They say by 2024, the food delivery industry will hit $32 billion with a 56% market share in the country's online food delivery industry. There are over 1 million DoorDash drivers in 7,000 cities across not just the U.S., but also Canada and Australia. I mean, if you have 1 million people driving this food around, more than a few are going to just be eating the food.
What can you do?
That's a lot of drivers, and as such, it's little wonder that becoming a DoorDash driver, or Dasher for short, is actually really easy. All that's required is an insured vehicle or a bicycle and a smartphone.
There's no dignity.
A quick license and background check, and you're on the road. There's more to being a Dasher than meets the eye, though. It says DoorDashers like the flexibility of deciding when and how much they work.
Now, I told you.
Also, like the flexibility of
eating
food someone else paid for.
I told you how I saw the one of the vehicles that had, like, it said Uber Eats on it.
Uh-huh.
It said Uber.
Mm-hmm.
It said
Lyft.
Yeah. It had DoorDash. I mean, it was like, I work for everyone.
I'm just constantly driving around doing things. Yeah. DoorDash drivers are paid per delivery rather than per hour. The payment structure, which consists of base pay and peak pay, leaves a lot to be desired. The base pay depends on the distance, time, and desirability of each order, while peak pay is typically an extra few dollars delivering during busy periods.
Give him another dollar.
There are extra promotions that will let drivers earn more money for finishing a set number of deliveries over a specific period of time.
Give them an extra dollar.
That seems like an opportunity for mischief. The DoorDash website says the company's base pay ranges between $2 and $10 per order. Wow. There are people here talking about driving 30 miles and getting paid $3.75. In July of last year, some Dashers went on strike after a post on Reddit called for drivers to switch from DoorDash to Uber Eats for the day. One of the demands was a base pay of $4.50. The strike that happened. DoorDash drivers rely on tips because the base pay and peak pay system just don't cut it. So they rely on gratuities to bolster their wages. You can tip when you place your order through the app or after food is delivered to your doorstep. Well, I'm not going to tip you if you're taking the bag with you. That's not great.
Place an offering in the hand of Ramesses.
That's all right.
Make it a dollar.
Yes, sir.
Place another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar. Another dollar.
Also, DoorDash has a cash on delivery policy, and that's got a lot of people freaked out because now everybody knows that DoorDash people carry cash on them. That's not smart. People knowing that we don't have cash is what makes me feel semi-safe doing this. The cash policy, one driver says here, is going to get people robbed. My days as a waiter making change are long over. No way I'm starting each shift making sure I have enough bills and coins. There was a driver that was carjacked, held at gunpoint while delivering Taco Bell. Robbers ended up stealing all of the valuables from her vehicle, including $200 in cash. Luckily, the vehicle was later found and returned to its owner. Yeah, that's... No thanks. Some DoorDash drivers have been fired for stealing food. One incident involved missing food was captured on a video. After ordering Taco Bell, the person who paid for the food noticed that her food order bag was ripped open. Upon checking the receipt, she realized her Doritos Locos taco was missing and requested a refund. Presumably to prove that the order had been delivered, the Dasher sent the person who paid for the money a photo of the delivery bag on her front porch. But they had left their Dorito dust-covered fingers in the foreground of the picture, proving that the Taco Bell had been delivered.
That proves nothing.
Number four.
Four.
Story of a teenager who's gotten a little too attached to screen time. What's different about this teenager, though, is he's a gorilla at the Lincoln Park Zoo. Amare is a gorilla who has become so obsessed with looking at the screens that it's beginning to negatively affect his behavior. And they're asking people, when you come to the zoo, please don't show him your phone. Please keep your phones away from Amare.
Otherwise, he might eat your face.
That's not great. A gorilla did not seem to notice last week when another teenage gorilla rushed him in a show of aggression. That's common among young males seeking to figure out who's going to be the boss of the gorillas.
Hey, oh.
Angeler. Danza the gorilla went after Amare. Hey, oh, who's going to be the boss around here? Angeler, the Lincoln Park Zoo, The reason that the 415-pound gorilla didn't notice that he was getting bum-rushed by this other gorilla was he was glued to a cell phone. Now, clearly they're not giving gorillas cell phones at the Lincoln Park Zoo. That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
But it was the cell phone of a visitor to the zoo.
That fell in there?
No, they keep showing the gorilla their cell phone. This young visitor keeps taking their smartphone to the zoo and then showing him clips of videos and pictures. The visitor's been showing Amare pictures and videos through the glass partition there at the zoo. The director of the zoo's Lester E. Fisher Center for the Study and Conservation of Apes telling the Chicago Sun-Times, quote, "It seemed to almost surprise Amare because his attention was very much distracted." These cell phone distractions have grown more frequent in recent months to the point now where staff members have put up a rope line to keep visitors a couple of feet away from the glass partition.
Well, just keep an eye on that, and when that person shows up, tell them, listen, stop doing that or we're going to kill you.
They have to explain the situation to visitors if it appears Amari is still being distracted by the bright screens of cell phones. The director of the monkey house there, Stephen Ross, says, quote, "It's probably a cyclical phenomenon. The more he shows interest, the more people want to engage in it. It's something we've noticed and we've talked about a lot in terms of a strategy to address it."
Well, listen, Stephen Ross, if you're in charge of the monkey house, keep your eyes open, and when that person shows up, kick them out of the zoo.
But now everyone knows to do it. That's the problem. Everyone knows if you show the monkey the screen or the
stop
girl the screen.
Stop doing it!
Ross has teenagers of his own. He says, as parents, we think about...
He's got teenage monkeys?
No, he's got teenage humans.
Oh.
He says, as parents, we think about what we want to... We want to give our children choices. We want them to grow into adults, but every once in a while, we have to sort of guide those choices for their good.
Yeah.
And rather than maybe allowing them to sit inside and watch TV all day, maybe encourage them to go outside and interact with their friends. That's just something I think all responsible parents think of, and in many ways, it's similar to what we're doing here.
Yeah. Go, I don't know, go play some tennis, something.
Right?
Do you have any idea how hot it is outside?
I've worked with great apes for 25 years now, and I'd say a lot of my parenting strategies have developed from that experience, he says.
And how's that working out for you?
Well,
tragically.
Not great.
My kids are climbing the walls. I've conditioned my teenagers to think that they're chimpanzees.
Amari lives with three other male bachelor gorillas, all in their teens. They're completely separated from an enclosure that contains a family group of gorillas.
Yeah, keep them away.
Yeah, please.
This is family hour.
This is family gorilla time. Because that family group includes a dominant male, and you don't want all kinds of, you know...
No, someone trying to...
Right.
...overthrow that situation.
Zoo officials don't want screen time to take away from an important pre-adult developmental period when the bachelors learn how to interact with each other and, you know, do gorilla stuff.
What kind of stuff?
Ross.
Gorilla stuff.
Ross tells the Sun-Times here, it's a typical sort of frat party. There's a lot of playing, but there's also some aggression and a lot of figuring out who's the boss in that group.
A.O.
Angela! I don't know which monkey I am. Am I number one or number two? A.O.O.A. Oh, Angela. Jonathan's asking me some weird questions. Could Amari become an easy target for bullying because he's not paying attention to the other animals? They say it's within the realm of possibility and they want to get ahead of that. He's especially vulnerable because his favorite spot in the enclosure is right next to the glass partition. So, yeah, if you're planning on visiting...
Stop showing videos!
When I was a teenager, I took a date to the Linkin Park Zoo.
First date?
Yeah. Because one of the things about the Linkin Park Zoo that's great is it's free. And
the monkeys might be playing with themselves.
Well, that was the problem, is I did not anticipate that happening.
Oh.
And I took this young girl.
You like that?
No, the problem was, she did, and she didn't want to leave the monkey house, and I was like super embarrassed because.
Well, you shouldn't have been.
Well, at first
you need to get over that.
I know. Like if I had it to do over again,
You should have went for a second date. You should have said, "Okay,
I know, right?
Now I know what you like. We're going back to the monkey house."
If you're into that.
Yeah.
I've got news for you.
You're going to love me.
Yeah, right? I'm 17, you're 16, and if you think that's fun to watch, oh boy, we have more in common than I thought.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she did not want to leave the... these weren't gorillas, these were the little, you know, the little monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all they do.
Closer it's to just... your size.
No, they were...
Well, I mean, compared to a gorilla. Compared to a gorilla.
I'm not. I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not comfortable saying that.
Yeah. And then we went out to eat, get some deep dish. And
did you really go get deep dish?
Yeah, we did. We did. I remember it because all she wanted to talk about the entire meal
was that monkey.
The monkeys who just kept.
You should have let her.
I know, Darren, but I was not suave with the dames back then. I wasn't the confident pinnacle of masculinity that you see today. Back then, I was very nervous about this stuff.
You know, those monkeys and me, we've got a lot in common. Just saying.
Yeah.
And if that's what you like, there's no reason you have to. There's no reason you have to spend all that time driving to the zoo, is all I'm saying. So why don't you wrap up that deep dish?
Why don't we put that in a box?
Why don't we get you, why don't we get you home and start making plans for date number two?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not. We don't even have to call it a date if you don't want to. It's just what we do.
It's just an event.
It's just what we do.
It's must-see TV. Uh-huh. I think you're going to really enjoy this.
No, you're going to dig it the most.
If you're going to the Lincoln Park Zoo, please don't show the gorillas.
Stop doing it.
Your videos. Thank you in advance for your cooperation.
Five.
Number five.
Normally during the Christmas holidays, it's not completely unusual for us to have stories of Santas that have gone wrong. A lot of times, pretty regularly, at least two or three times a year, there's a story of some mall Santa who is taken out of the mall by the police, right? It's pretty,
yeah.
You can count on it. But the guys who dress up in the Easter Bunny costumes, you don't tend to hear these stories, but we have one now.
Now
a mall Easter Bunny who ran into some trouble down in the St. Louis area.
Now, I might be seeing this more the way I wanted to see it than the way it actually happened.
Yeah. Well, but your versions are usually better.
But they had, it's the little ice cream place in Clinton.
Uh-huh.
I think it might actually be a Dairy Queen.
Uh-huh.
But there is a table. They've got the wooden table that's right next to it so that you can enjoy your ice cream sandwich,
sure,
or your ice cream cone or whatever. And we drove past it one time on the way to the dog park, and it was getting close to Easter. And the two people that were sitting... the two people that were sitting at the picnic table, one was the Easter Bunny, and one was a guy dressed up as an Easter egg. And they were both sitting there smoking. That's the way I saw it anyway. Just...
you didn't get out and take a picture of an egg having a cigarette.
let's take a load off here.
This has been, you know, while we wait for them to figure out our peanut butter parfait, let's just knock off a quick heater here on this. What I have to assume is the smoking section of the Dairy Queen.
I gotta focus. I'm scrambled this morning.
Fairview Heights, Illinois. Guy who works as the Easter Bunny at St. Clair Square Mall, accused of assaulting a Fairview Heights, Illinois police officer on Thursday night. Police say the man assaulted a female officer and then ran through the mall at 7 p.m. on Thursday. When officers caught up with him, they believed he was a threat, so they had to tase him in order to make an arrest.
Mm-hmm.
The man, whose name has not been released, was dressed in a bunny costume.
No egg was with him, huh?
Maybe it's that guy. Fairview Heights Police Department not saying what led up to the assault. The department released a statement here saying this is an ongoing investigation with the Fairview Heights Police Department. This was an isolated incident, and the police are investigating. A St. Clair Square spokesperson, that's the mall, said an outside company called Cherry Hill Programs hires people to dress as the Easter Bunny at the mall. Is there some sort of... There has to be some sort of background check, right?
FBI, probably.
I don't... Cherry Hill Program sounds like maybe it's a charity that gives people... It's... It says here Cherry Hill Programs is the leader in experimental photography, operating holiday experiences over 900 venues across the United States. So this is a group that just hires Easter bunnies.
Sounds to me like they might be people that that hire people that have to prove they're working. Even if it's for a brief period of time.
In partnership with popular landmarks, signature shopping and hotel destinations across North America, Cherry Hill Programs delivers millions of magical experiences annually with iconic backdrops and cityscapes, as well as authentic Santas and Easter bunnies for the young and young at heart. And then it says here in big letters, we believe in accountability.
And second chances.
Oh, no! It's possible that the bunny...
Maybe third or fourth chances.
Let me see where the nearest...
Can you just sign this to prove I was here?
Okay, I guess Cherry Hill is the organization that runs the Easter Bunny for both North Park and South Park Mall.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know about our local Easter Bunny. This is, again, the one down in Fairville Heights. This is like a St. Louis area.
How necessary is it to have an organization that provides Easter Bunnies?
It does seem like an odd thing.
Really?
Like, that's our company. We put Easter Bunnies in the mall. And then, I mean, it's not inexpensive to get your kid's picture taken with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, you would think that would pay for the Easter Bunny outfit pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. No. No. It's, you have to book online and then you get...
Hey, Mr. Egg, get over here. Goo, 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 chew. Quick. Chop, chop.
Hey, more bunny, less money. Let's go. Hey, come on. Do the bird.
Eggman, get over here.
Eggman. Eggman, you only smoke during breaks, okay?
And that's outside on
the wooden
picnic table.
The wooden bench. Yeah, so that's all.
Stop smoking when someone comes up to get an ice cream cone, okay?
I'm not paying for you guys at patrons.
Put the cigarettes out when the kids show up, okay? A family's getting out of the van now. Don't light another cigarette.
And for crying out loud, Easter Bunny, you can't talk, and Egg, you shouldn't. You've had your voice box removed on account of the cigarettes. Welcome, kids. Welcome to the Easter parade. Oh, no. That's all this company does. That'd be a good line of work to get into. You start hiring people when? February? And then once Easter's done.
They better be pretty nice rabbit outfits.
I will say.
I don't want anything shoddy.
No, I will say, looking at the Cherry Hill Program's website at least, these are
quality,
top of the line Easter outfits.
Okay.
Let's see. You can apply to be a partner here. You just give them your contact information and a billing address. If you want to join the team, let's say I wanted to become an Easter Bunny. The bunny character, we're always auditioning candidates for seasonal bunny character positions for holiday event photography. Enjoy online training and a flexible work schedule. So it's basically, watch this movie, and we'll tell you how to be a bunny. Full-time, part-time, and mini shifts available. Full-time Easter Bunny?
Mm-hmm. Just let us know how long and where you were incarcerated.
And what for?
And for what?
Right, because there are certain offenses we can't hire
some
you.
We can't...
Bring your dependable, enthusiastic, outgoing, and professional attitude to Bunny Magic. Apply today.
I'm not only an Easter Bunny, I'm also a motivational speaker.
Now, for Santas, it says Santa character with a natural beard.
Sure.
Do you believe in Santa and the magic he brings to children of all ages? Are you ready to share your well-groomed natural beard, your fabulous smile, and a twinkle in your eyes for a jolly Santa role? With the season only a sleigh ride away, Now is the perfect time to apply to join our team to bring magic to the 2022 holiday season. Apply online or email your resume. Oh, wow.
You got to be careful with that one because it's not always a twinkle that's in their eye.
I know I've told this story before, but when I was in high school, my buddy George was the mall Santa. And George may have weighed 105 pounds soaking wet.
Uh-huh.
And they had him be the mall Santa one year, I guess because they couldn't find anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the fake beard. And again, I mean, just skinny as a rail. And it was weird because he would be the mall Santa for 8 hours and would just be broken at the end of each shift.
Oh, I bet. That's a long time to do that job.
Yeah, and especially to have a 17-year-old kid be the Santa. I don't know.
They've crushed my pelvis, Dave.
I would be furious. If I took my kid to the mall to get the Santa picture and, Santa was...
He was so bony.
He was bony Santa.
I think he bruised me.
Yeah, this was before Nightmare Before Christmas, but it was kind of like a Jack Skellington sitch. What is going on? They couldn't find anybody to be Santa other than you? Yeah, well, at least I get to sit for most of my shift.
That's good. I can't feel my legs.
Got nerve damage as a result of this Santa gig. Maybe that's something I'll do. Maybe I'll be a mall Santa at some point. I wonder what the pay is. If you gotta have a natural beard, I imagine they pay a pretty penny for that. Give me something to think about here. But it's too late to be the bunny this year. They've already got people on both sides of the river doing the bunny gig here. You think they only have one person on both sides of the river?
I would think it's a team.
So are there like three or four bunnies in the Quad Cities right now that they're just at the malls?
If you want to keep your sanity, and I don't know if that's the case.
And then there's got to be somebody there that takes the pictures.
Yeah, the bunny handler.
Here's what I imagine happens, and let us know if we're wrong. I bet the photographer and the guy in the bunny suit switch off.
Could be.
So it's like, all right, you be the bunny, and I'll be the photog. And then tomorrow, I'll get in that suit and sweat it out, and then you can... I need to get in that suit and sweat some things out.
Don't let the middle schoolers sneak up on me, okay?
Right. Yeah, that doesn't...
Those damn kids between 12 and 14.
Yeah, it doesn't end well for the bunny when the... Oh, stop it! I just wanted to spread some holiday cheer.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, that was thrilling. I enjoyed doing that. That was the Top 5 Things podcast.
I didn't understand most of it, but you were smiling.
A lot of just gibberish. Thanks for downloading it, subscribing to it, listening to it. And if you get a chance, please leave a review somewhere, won't you? Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, Brian, want to get the rock out of here?
Rock ya.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.